Good morning. Fourth and fifth graders, you are dismissed. There are times, moments, events in life that shake us to the core. When it feels like the ground has disappeared and the rug has been pulled out from beneath our feet. But we who are in Christ, who have our hope set on the living God, we have nothing to fear. Because even when the circumstances of this life are unsure, our footing is secure. But there are those who have nothing to stand on. Their foundation is fleeting. This is why the Apostle Paul is so insistent on his mission. Why he's so insistent on our mission. This is why we have all been called as Christians to be ambassadors for Christ. Today starts a new series. These next 4 weeks, we're going to be exploring what it means that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we are Christ's ambassadors. We're going to answer the question of our purpose. What is our purpose? What is our role? What is our mission? We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. And I want to begin this series and end this series looking at this passage. And for those of you that were at winter camp, sorry, you're going to get some repeat because we're going to be looking at Romans 10 as the youth pastors were gathering to plan winter camp. I told them what I was going to be speaking on. This is months ago, and I told them, like, oh, I'm going to be preaching on Romans 10. And they're like, that's a great idea. Let's do that for camp. I'm like, okay. It works for me, but some of you will be hearing it twice, so that's okay. But as we explore this idea of what it means to be Christ's ambassadors, I want to begin and end this whole series with a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and so you can turn there. I want you to look at this and understand that it really is who we are to be in Christ. Chapter 5, verse 11 through 21. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, some of your versions might say compels us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ, if we are in him. Before we dive into what we're going to be looking at today, I want to draw some connections between Romans and Corinthians. If you look at the end of the letter, you can jot this down in notes and look at this later, but Romans 16, 3 through 5, we have some greetings that Paul gives to the church in Rome. And Paul had never been to Rome yet. He didn't know the Christians in Rome, at least not all of them. He lists a few there, but there was many more. And so he lists a couple of them that he did know. And we see in Romans 16, 3 through 5, that Prisca and Aquila are mentioned, also known as Priscilla and Aquila. And it says that they're fellow workers. And it's interesting, he doesn't know the whole church situation that's taking place in Rome, but he does know that there is a church gathering in their house, Priscilla and Aquila's house. And we first learn about Priscilla and Aquila in the book of Acts, chapter 18. You can jot that down in your notes also and read about Paul meeting Priscilla and Aquila. And what we know about them is from the book of Acts that they had been kicked out of Rome by the emperor Claudius because they were Jewish. And they were tent makers, so Paul actually goes to work with them. They were just ordinary people. But they had been kicked out of their home, and they immediately began to proclaim the good news of Jesus that they had come to know. And they actually help educate Apollos, who becomes instrumental in Corinth. And you can read all about that in Acts chapter 18. And so I draw your attention to Priscilla and Aquila because they are instrumental to Paul's work, and so they're instrumental to our own faith in that sense. Sometimes we like to put the Apostle Paul on a pedestal, and to some degree that makes sense. He wrote a large portion of the Bible. He was an apostle, even if on his own admission he says that he is the least of all apostles, as one born late. But Priscilla and Aquila are just ordinary people like you and I. But when they are driven away from their home, they do not despair. They are secure in their faith, and they advance the gospel because they are Christ's ambassadors. So we see, as Paul writes this letter to the Romans, that it is in large part related to not only his call, as we see in Romans 1, that he is an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, but it's also our call. Just like Priscilla and Aquila were making Christ known and helping educate Apollos, who went on to be instrumental in Corinth. But the book of Romans, as a whole, is a letter that is written so that Paul could gain support to continue his call. Paul actually wanted to go to Spain, and you can see that in Romans 15, verses 24 and 28. He talks about his desire to go to Rome so that they can send him to Spain. And so Romans, in large part, is a missionary support letter. And the whole book of Romans, we see, is Paul's commendation of himself to the people in Rome who he did not know. And so as we see these connections in the book of Romans and Corinthians, I tell you that to show you that there is something bigger at play. That God is doing something in the world so that we can be used by him as part of what his plan is. Because he has created us to know him and to follow him, to be his ambassadors. If we are in Christ, we are his ambassadors. We are secure. This is the main point. We are secure. Nothing can separate us from the love of God because we are in Christ. This brings us to our passage that I want us to look at today before we get into Romans 10. Romans 9 through 11, which we're only going to be scratching the surface over these next 4 weeks, but Romans 10 is what we're going to look at, and Romans 9 through 11 is really God's heart for the lost, specifically God's heart for Israel. We see Paul's heart for Israel as well. And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at what that means for us as well. Romans 8, 37 through 39 says this: "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate those who are in Christ from the love of God. That is the good news that we are keepers of. Point number one today is that we are secure because God has made a way. The verses immediately preceding this, Romans 8, 32 through 35 says this: "He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing." The answer is nothing. If we are in Christ, nothing can separate us. We are secure because God has made a way. Our identity, our security, our mission is all predicated on the work of Christ and what he has accomplished. We are secure because God did not spare his own son. And we rest in that truth. Christ is the way. That's what he said of himself. Apostle John records his words: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." This exclusive promise is what we hold on to. It's what provides us our security. But friends, point number two today is this: that there are those who do not know the way, who do not know Christ. Paul goes on to say that in Romans 9, verses 1 through 3. "I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Here we see a glimpse both into the heart of God, but also into Paul's heart and what should be our own heart. That he knows that there's those who do not know Jesus, who have rejected him. God's own people have rejected him. And as I said earlier, that these chapters 9 through 11 deal in depth with God's purpose with Israel. And over the coming weeks, we'll survey chapter 10 to see what that means for us. But in short, it means that we ought to have a sense of urgency about us, that there are those who are lost. It should cause us to desire to make Jesus known. And so that's point number three, that God has called us to proclaim the way, to proclaim him, to proclaim Christ. Just give you a teaser of Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 14. Paul says these things: "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" He goes on to say, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." And that's not a call just for preachers who stand up and preach like this. This is a call for each one of us to go out into the world and make him known. 2 Corinthians 5:20 again: "We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." God has created us so that we can know him and make him known. Christianity is not about us just knowing things and keeping it to ourselves. It's about entering into God's purpose and plan for redemption in the world. Our security in Him is or ought to be a motivating factor in making Him known because of what He has done for us, and our security in the love of God, we ought to make the love of God known to those who do not know Him. Nothing can separate us from Him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. But friends, there are people, and we know them, who don't know Him, who are separated from the love of God because they are not in Christ. And this is why He has made us His ambassadors. God making His appeal through us. That's right. God making His appeal through us. You might think, well, that is just, He should have chose someone better. But that's the beauty of the gospel, that He would use individuals like us as a collective whole to proclaim Him. Each one of us with different gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given us and granted us, that He desires to use us to make Him known in the world. It's an amazing thought experiment to just consider if each one of us led one person to Christ and that one person led one person to Christ and it just trickled down. If the math gets really big really fast, how many people would come to know Christ if all you did was share with one person Christ? That's pretty attainable. Those of you who have children, I mean, there you go right there. That's at least one. Hopefully all, obviously. But God has put us all in different places, in different spheres of influence, different workplaces, different families, different friends. And God would desire to use each one of us in those places to make Him known in those places. We are His ambassadors. The church is not the kingdom of God. It's like an embassy for the kingdom that is already here and not yet present, that Jesus inaugurated and will fully bring into realization when He returns. So if you are secure, if you are in Christ, it's not a question of whether or not you are an ambassador. You are an ambassador for Christ. The question is, what kind of ambassador are you? Would you pray with me? God, we thank You and we praise You for Your plan of redemption throughout the ages, that You would send Your Son so that we might have life, that He gave Himself willingly in our place so that we could experience newness of life, that we could be new creations in Him. And Lord, we marvel and wonder at the reality that You would use broken sinners like us, that You would redeem us for the purpose of making You known and making Him known. Lord, we thank You for the gift of the Spirit that You have poured out in all those who have called on Your name to empower us to make Christ known. Lord, help us to do that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.